morning.
Good
morning. Your daughters briefly informed me and said, Graham, we took an ice cream. I don't know if that was a promissory note or an IOU report. Rita, I'm glad to see you back. Back up north now. And she was a snowbird for a few weeks. I had you look kind of I wish it came this morning. You're going to have Keith and Angela among our visitors. But if you're all able to be here, Brother Jim, Sister Blanche, I said there was some movie or something. I didn't watch it, so if it's bad, don't blame me. But it was called Gone Girl. I said Blanche was our Gone Girl for about a month or more. Good to see you in your recovery, Sister Brittany and Sister Starlight. See all of them. Looks like maybe my God does it. Some sun too. And we have been blessed with some good weather. And we've had a lot of rain. Now there is a connection with my lesson here this morning. Jesus is our refuge, our shelter from the storm. I'm going to tell you about the initial storm that was the storm. The flooding of the earth and the destruction therein. I'm going to teach you a lesson, Lord willing, it will work really well, that was taught to me first by Tom Black, a missionary in Europe, in Germany at the time, called the Ark of the Church. I changed it to Jesus, the refuge in the storm. So, as Patrick Niehoff, a brother in Christ, also a preacher, and thank you, Shane, for your thoughtful prayer for preachers of the Lord's Church throughout the world. Pat Niehoff and I spoke about a week ago regarding certain lessons, evangelism, and some of the particulars or how-tos, sharing ideas back and forth. So I'm going to copy something that he said. Don't know that any of this originated with me, he said. But here we go. There are some good lessons that appear online and some good tracks. So let's dig in. There is one ark and there is one church. I began a lesson series last Sunday. Lord willing, I'll have enough Sundays that I can do this for several to come. And that is out with the old, in with the new. The Old Testament was put there for our learning. It was added because of sin, so we need to take Old Testament learning, schoolmaster, to understand the things that point to Jesus Christ and to 2022, current day living. One such example, connection, is between the one ark and the one church. There's one ark, and I'd like to point out, and I imagine others have done this, there's only one source of light coming in. There's only one source of light in the world, Jesus Christ. There's only one door. Jesus called himself the gate of the door. The road is narrow. Goes straight on to Jesus Christ. It goes through one man, Jesus Christ. Noah was not at the, I don't know what it's called, pilot's wheel, the captain's wheel. He was not guiding that. The care of the ark, as with the care of the church, is in those hands. Divine hands. The rains came and fell. I'm tickling my throat. Pollen season, I apologize. The rains came and fell. In Genesis 6:14, we read where Noah is given instruction on what to do, how to build the material. What I'm about to say didn't originate with me. I'm not sure who said it first. Where God institutes, we may not substitute. If God chose the one, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus the Christ, we may not substitute. Thou shalt have no other gods. If God institutes and puts Christ at the head over all things in the church, we may not substitute. If there are two emblems at the Lord's Supper, we may not have Coca-Cola and potato chips. Why? Because that's not what was instituted. If you're following the master, you're following. That's the narrow way. But this is important. And Noah builds according to the design. Not only the design, the materials, and how it's pitched within and without, sealed up. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Matthew 16 and verse 18. He didn't say churches. Oh, but sometimes you all say the churches of Christ. Yes. That's speaking of individual congregations of the Lord's body. But when we speak universal, there is only one church. There is only one head. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 reads, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We, if we are the same, we are the church. We are the body. And if you like encouraging messages, death and destruction isn't very encouraging. But salvation is what takes you away from, pulls you out of the depths of destruction, out of the bowels of hell, spiritually, and translates or puts you over into the ark, the church. But we have to be faithful and follow. Okay? I want to follow the one who is overall and in all, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Ephesians 4 and 4, we read this morning in our Bible study. There is one body, one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Singularity. Unique. He didn't have two unique things. And have it be the same. It's one Jesus Christ. There's one church. There's only one church. There's only one body of Christ. He had only one physical body, this vessel. There is only one spiritual body, the Lord's church. Here is the great encouraging thing other than salvation from destruction, that you are called a co-heir. That you are in a kingdom. That means you have a king. In America, we like to talk about being a democracy. You realize we were really established as a republic and a loosely confederated one. That shouldn't be a bad word, lowercase c. But here is the bigger point. Spiritually, no matter what your earthly governance is, we are part of a kingdom. You are like princes and princesses. You are co-heirs. Jesus Christ is not only our Lord and Savior, but my understanding of Scripture, he is our brother. And he went first and held captivity captive, and he trampled underfoot that curse of Satan, which is that he vanquished that last enemy, put it to death, not to death. So, okay, here are the Scriptures now. Second point. There is only one door in that ark. You don't get around that way. You know, I spoke with someone just the other day, one of my neighbors about World War I. And the ligne Maginot, the Maginot line, the ligne Maginot, I think was a brilliant idea with a terrible blunder. They didn't close the ends. They didn't finish it. French. Well, we've got a choice to either go over and through, further away, or we'll just go the inland plane. Outflank, functioning through plane. And that's what we did. We don't, there's not another way we can get in here. There's not another door. This idea that religions, they're all equal and they're all different places on the hub of a wheel, and all are equal and all get to the center. That's a falsehood. If there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, that's singular. And so, there is only one door into the ark. There is only one gate and one door, and that's Jesus Christ. Let's say you're not quite convinced. Don't let me convince you with convincing words, but please listen to Scripture as we go through these. There's one door, one entrance. Here is a picture or a depiction to get up in there. You know the old joke, the door is not unlocked, and it's not a screen door. When it shuts, it has to be water sealed or watertight, or it has to be above that water level. It has to be above the level of the destruction. And so, in Genesis 6:16, they were commanded that they should make a window in that ark. So there's that, and finish it to a cubit from the top, and set the door of the ark inside of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Huge. Who was Noah to question? So Noah waits. God is waiting patiently, we read in Scripture, in the days of Noah, while he was a known name of the ark. So Noah waits. Yes, he has to be patient. He works. He's not sitting on his hands. He preaches. He prays. Something a lot like what we are told to do. Labor and wait. Study. Be prayerful without ceasing. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Then I want to know about being born again. Not this physical birth. We're all here. Physically, as one fellow, Phil Robinson, said in a lesson I wrote for a speech, "How did I get here?" And he said, that's from your mother. That's the physical birth. That explains that. Why am I here? For a higher purpose. How do I get out of here? Or how do I get out of it alive, spiritually? That is a key question, of course, to ask. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, the answer is, of course not. Not a physical rebirth. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven, or into the kingdom of God." I'm not sure about what goes on in your minds when you hear that. When I hear that, it's clear as a bell what Jesus is talking about. Could the ark have floated without water? No, it was meant to be upon the sea, upon the water, to rise above the destruction. So, when this like figure is pointed out later, it should come as no surprise. Let's take a look. Jesus is that only door. You ever ask somebody that? "Excuse me, lady, where's the plant located? Can you read I'd like to come in and borrow a chain. Where should I go? Should I go to the front door to pick that up? Don't you ask that? Where's the entry? Don't people sometimes tell you that about their but don't go in here, Genesis. Not what was called the hospital. Make sure you go over here. They tell you where to go. Well, wouldn't a just and righteous God tell us where to go and how to get there? If he's just, and I believe he is. If he's loving, and I believe he is. Wouldn't you agree that he would plainly and clearly say, this is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So, being born again of the water and the Spirit is somehow related to entering through Jesus Christ, the one way, the one truth, and the one life. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the King unless he's born again. We now have two things. That either Jesus contradicted himself, shoved that one aside, or he's telling you two different pieces of information that are linked together inexorably. That means you can't extricate or tear off or peel off a piece of that. They're somehow linked. That's what we desire to know and understand more about. And Jesus answered, except a man be born of water and spirit. Last week, I taught about Jesus, the Passover lamb, and how it is important for us to remember his death, because it's commanded each week to show forth his death until he would come again. There's one door and one entrance. You see that the Passover lamb, his blood has to be over the lintel and the posts of your life in order for you to enter through that door, that gate, that straight narrow way, through him. You see, that's the one door. That again, Scripture. Third point, there's one source of light, there's only one light in these days. There's one source of light, there's a window or a piece cut into that. You see God physically representing all the pieces that we're going to need now, 2,000 years after Jesus Christ. And God is not only doing, he's pointing to what shall be and shall come. There's only one place for light to be. You shall make a window for the ark and finish it to the cubit from the top. You know that in some older buildings, some people would leave an aperture or a hole in the ceiling, and then they would mark either the tiles or some way etchings or such on the floor. And you know what that does? It's like a calendar then on the floor, because as the sun rises in the, and by rising I don't mean any setting in the west, but the sun angle, the solar angle is different depending on the season where the earth is. It's a natural phenomenon, God put it all together. And you can mark, and make a mark, where that one shaft of light shone down in my uncle, said he did that in a little barn on the Gibson farm. So that you can mark. You can tell where that one singular shaft of light, it does not help have two or 50 or hundreds of denominations. Because the lights then get confused with one point of use. How do I mark? This is a mark for us to understand. And Jesus Christ is the one light. And he came into the world. If you want to read about that light, I encourage you to read John 1, first chapter, and John, 1 John 1, the first chapter of 1 John, the epistle. And look at the light and see what this is, and that the majority of people do not recognize that those in darkness are not going to understand the light. I don't know if it was Paul K. Smoker or which preacher in verse 7 says, I love this thought. There is no darkness that can extinguish that light. You can have one of these little tiny birthday candles. I'm not trying to rattle up too many candles. But you can take one of these tiny wax birthday candles and put that in a pitch dark room. And from anywhere in the room, you'll be able to see the light of that candle. Jesus Christ is such a light that anywhere you can see that there is one light. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. John 3 and 19. Why do people skip over the first 15 verses of John 3 and then the ones after 16? I believe all of them, don't you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The question then becomes, well, if Jesus said I have to be reborn, that must be a part of that faith or that belief that I have to believe that he is going to do the same thing when I'm reborn. Who saved the darkness? It's not a trick question. Wasn't it God? God had his plan. God had his time. The rains came, the rains fell, the floods came up, well, water up from the earth's store of water, and all combined and covered everything. God, the God that saw and saved it. One source of light. This is the burning light that's coming into the world. People of darkness. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Is it any wonder that most people who want to rip something off or destroy something do it in cover of darkness? Is it any wonder that when people want to do evil, they don't want to be seen? Those people are not in the light. Make a window. This is the judgment. There's only one way, Jesus Christ. There's one family, point number four. There's only one family that gets in. Wow, cruel God was. He gave them a lot of time. Noah had more days and years to preach than I will have, most likely. Again, back to Paul K. Smoker, and I think it was he, the first person, that said he was talking with someone who was, you know, bellyaching about never being told or taught, you know, what was me as far as on the receiving end of the scriptures. And Paul said, friend, you have sat in that pew or that chair for how many years? I try to ensure that when I teach or preach, I'm converted high school teacher. You didn't know that. I try always to make sure that in a sermon you have heard. You need to repent. You need to confess the name of Jesus Christ. Having believed, having heard actual gospel information, that it pricks you in the heart to believe in faith, but that needs to be an active faith, as James points out. One that's living. It needs to be an obedient faith. Not just lip service. We must be baptized for the remission of our sins. There I said. You heard it again. But it's not my word, it's my gospel. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Noah does this over and over and over again. He's laughed at, mocked. Jesus is spat upon, crowned with thorns, whipped, beaten, bruised, bludgeoned. People mock him. If you're really in Christ, why don't you save yourself? Come off that tree. He knows he can, the power to do so, but he can't. A lot of people who are still lost confuse us. What do you mean, Mark? I mean this. Do you do everything you are able, or do you show restraint? Jesus restrained his own power because he knew this was the cup he had to drink. His own death was necessary to make that propitiation for sin. They were me. He has to be that. Pardon me, me either of a better covenant. He needs to put the old one down, finish it, and he needs to institute the new. Okay, Noah and his wife and their three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, eight souls, that's it. Now we can either blame the messenger, Noah, for not saving more people, but I would put forth, you would posit, Noah didn't have the power to save them anyway. Isn't God the one? Guiding the Lord and in charge of that salvation. Better get in the ark for it to come. Then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark. God waited patiently. People refused. That's called free will. There was an old song, and I'm not beholden to old rock and roll people, but if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. I will choose free will. Well, God lets you have free will. He wants you to choose Christ Jesus as your only Lord, faith, and one baptism. And in the ark, all your household, and Noah and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him enter the ark because of the water of life. It's now too late. Don't you suppose if someone's bobbing up and down, I don't know if you've got a pig of water in your army that's drowning. I'm not saying this to brag, but I was doing a swim test as a child. Someone jumped, you know, the boat whistle, and while I was doing the test, someone jumped on my back. And you take a lot of water in your lungs, not very good. And it happened a couple of times, and they had to rescue you. Don't you suppose there are people? It's too late. When the destruction comes, when the end comes, it's too late to get in the ark. They can't open it back up and drown themselves. Sad, sad, that bitter way of almost. You still have a choice, so long as there's life and breath. Galatians 3, 28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if, this is all y'all, this is me, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to a promise. An heir is one who is going to inherit something. They have that same chunk in the middle. Inherit. We've got heavenly upbringing. It's our choice. We're being taught constantly. The Bible is the bestseller of all time. And it's in how many different languages? It's now on the internet. It has been for years and years. It's going out there far and wide. which neither Jew nor Greek, you are the same as me, if we are in Christ Jesus. Now, there are some that are struggling and some that are exceeding, sure. But as far as equality, you want liberty, equality, and fraternity, the three watchwords of the French Revolution. You want that in Christ Jesus? There's true equality. The Spirit will have complete equality. Save what I'm saying is the choice. If you're in Christ Jesus, great. Thank God for the freedom and the liberty and the salvation that exists in Jesus Christ. That is perfect equality. Point five. There's work for them, there's work for us. We cannot work to be saved. If I help Blanche, and I just said this because I see Walker back there. If I help Blanche, the old lady across the street, they used to say, pardon me, sister, she's green. That's not going to get me to heaven. Is it good to do good? Mind if I say something? I got to go ahead with a thumbs up from Matthew. This was not in my lesson plan. Real world example. Matthew found $100. He turned it in. Rhonda said, I got a call. She really drew this one out. She had me worried. There was a little bit of trepidation. I thought, oh, no, but Matthew did this with me. They called him from school. Turned it in. It was a good call. Accommodation. The right thing. Money can't buy love. That's what we know song. Money can't buy you certain things. So my comment, I'm proud of you, Matthew. And my comment, again, was, by turning that back in, you got a level of respect that you could not buy with $100. No matter what we do, here is a spiritual consequence. No matter what good things we do, we've still got to realize we are falling short of the glory of God. All our deeds are like filthy rags. And whatever do I do, give it to Jesus. Hand it over. Redeem that redemption. Turn that back in. Let Christ's blood, his death, be baptized into his death, so that he was already paid that price and you are able to claim your belonging to him. So, working, not working to be saved, but there is something that we have to realize. Noah was to build. Preach and wait for the Lord. We are to build up the church that is edified. We are to preach the word and wait for the Lord. Pray without ceasing. In Matthew 28:16 and following, but the 11 disciples proceeded in Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority, not some, not a bit, not a piece, not majority, all has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go and make disciples. How? Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And are we done then, Lord? And teaching them to observe all things. See, to me that's crystal clear. Remember the water of the Spirit? 1 Corinthians 15:57-58. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. We got to keep working. I want to be the worker for the Lord. It doesn't say I want to be the worker so that I can earn my salvation. But if we say we love him, we need to obey him. That's also in there. We don't get to pick and choose. Or as I said, I believe last Sunday I said, that reverse highlight. We can't kick out the black Sharpie marker and mark out everything that we don't like. Can't handle that, can't touch that, can't deal with that, don't agree with that, don't like that. Who am I? We need to say, instead of who am I to obey, we ought to say, here am I, Lord, send me. We're saved by water, saved by baptism. Do you believe it? Let's destroy it under the floodwaters. The whole world, except for the saved, except for those eight souls. Sin, all their works, all their evil works are destroyed. Perhaps Jesus wept the shortest verse, two words. How sad that is. Jesus wept. His groaning on the cross. One of the most painful scriptures or verses for me to read is, I believe in the King James, it says, it repented the Lord that he had made man. And ladies, do not think that doesn't mean God too. That means all of us. That he made people. Why? Because their minds were on evil all the day long. That's what they were doing, their deeds. They wouldn't listen. Mom. So, what's destroyed underneath? Destruction. The water cuts two ways. It floats the ark above destruction. It destroys what's below. Where sometimes we're sometime we're disobedient. Once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, where in few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Many were called, few were chosen. Well, why did God just choose him? He chose the best on the planet. They gave them all the opportunity. Save my life. Don't believe me? Then read. In which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal or an answer to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This says it is not my work. Don't let people steal that away from you. This says baptism now saves you, Mark. You, Martine. Not because you're washing your sins away, but through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is an appeal to God. It's God's work. I can't work to be saved, but if I obey, I've got to have a faith that believes that God can deliver when he promises. Else, what kind of a faith is it? I rejected that notion for almost 2 years before I submitted and said, I'm done with me. Give me more of me. And I urge you to do the same. And daily remember that inward walk. Say baptism now saves you. I didn't say it, I'm repeating what's quoted. We're saved inside, we're saved in Christ and in his church. You got to be in the ark to avoid the destructive force. Don't know if you've ever been on the water or in a canoe, but I saw a woman, she and her husband capsized. The water, the undertow was full of thunder. Yes, I have been a Boy Scout, and we learned what was called canoe over canoe rescue. She was in shock, and she was worried about her wallet and her husband's wallet. And I said, ma'am, we've got to get you in, you know, safely. So I was able to put the canoe up. You've got to be in the canoe or you won't lose your life when the heavy waters are, or when water rushes by. So let's keep this in mind, that we've got to be in the church praising God and having favor with all the people the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, who were being saved. I cannot add you to the church. That's the Lord that does it. When you're obedient to the gospel, then he will add you to the number who is saved. And Ephesians 5:23, for the husband's the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. I can never repay that. I can never die even from my own sins, let alone the sins of others. And for this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. Those who are lost are outside, which is destruction to all outside the church. This is almost like a repetition that was in that original lesson. Here is something I want you to hear. Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's a deep, dark thing. That destructive force again shall be punished with everlasting destruction is if they refuse to obey the gospel. And finally, there's one hope in the new world, one hope in the new home in heaven. I know for some of you, you heard our brother Delmer Jordan say, heaven today is home tomorrow. We need to keep in mind what our goal is. When we understand the Christian mission we have, the spiritual mission, why we are here, what we are to do, we need to believe that promise to. The heaven today sounds far off, but it's home tomorrow. But when that time comes, these will go away into eternal punishment. The everlasting of the righteous in the everlasting life. St. Matthew 25. In Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called, one hope of your call. Jesus said that he had come so that we may have life, and that we may have it more money. Jesus paid it all. Are you willing now that you've heard another portion of the gospel, have you heard such that you're pricked in the heart, you're ready to confess his name, repent, turn away from the destruction, and get in the one true body. And let Jesus' blood cover the door. We bid you come and answer that call and obey the gospel promise he gives you.